Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing? February 13th, 2023. WWE Raw just ended. Elimination Chamber is this Saturday. And I tell you, I can't do predictions yet. We only have four matches scheduled so far. And I expect them to add at least one or two more matches. At least one. I was looking at Elimination Chamber last year. Now, obviously, a lot has changed in WWE over the last 12 months. Not only, you know, Vince McMahon stepping aside in the creative department and Triple H stepping in. Roster is a little bit different. But the fact that WWE is for sale and they are doing everything to maximize every penny, every dollar, everything they possibly can do. So a year ago, Elimination Chamber, compared to this year, it's going to look mighty different. And just to give you an idea as far as how much has changed, I added up the total amount of wrestling last year for the Elimination Chamber, putting the intros and the outros and the skits and the vignettes and the backstage and, you know, on-air interviews aside, we had 80 minutes of total wrestling. Roman Reigns, his title defense 1 year ago was against Goldberg, and it lasted 6 minutes. Do you think that Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn is going to be anywhere near 6 minutes? No, absolutely not. The Elimination Chamber matches themselves, the men's side, which Brock Lesnar won, only went 14 minutes and 55 seconds. On the women's side, we had, obviously, Bianca Belair win, and that match only lasted 15 minutes, 45 seconds. Now, I know what you're going to say to me. Well, DT, both matches were about the same. Yeah, but when you have Brock Lesnar as one of the participants, he doesn't stay in there very long. Couple of other matches last year. Naomi and Ronda Rousey beat Charlotte Flair and Sonya Deville. Drew McIntyre over Madcap Moss. Becky Lynch over Lita. Over Lita, what a difference a year makes for Becky Lynch and Lita, right? So right now we only have four matches. And believe me when I tell you, my friends, I want to do predictions tonight. But I think we may have to wait until Friday. And listen, I'm not trying to be a jerk when I say this. Roman Reigns, Austin Theory, Asuka, and, Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, I think it's going to end up with a double disqualification, double count out, no contest. I think there's going to be so much chaos between those two guys, they're probably going to throw the match out. I mean, that's honestly where I see Elimination Chamber as of right now. So when you do a prediction show, I mean, you really got to stretch it. I mean, if you want to recap the last month, you know, and then lead up to your predictions, yeah, that's different. But as far as the outcomes right now, kind of a little predictable. So we may have to wait until possibly Friday. Maybe Friday, right after SmackDown, I'll come up here for a half an hour, 40 minutes. We'll do a quick prediction show. Now, the big two topics as far as Chamber goes, one has to do with Cody Rhodes, and one we have to have a little fun with. Now, I'm curious, for everyone who is live, should we use the term rumor killer going forward, or should we use the term rumor shredder? Now, I'm not trying to be PG by eliminating the word killer. Believe me, I know there's a terrible mass shooting that went, well, it is a mass shooting, but I heard tonight, thank God, there's only one casualty. Hopefully, there's none more. Do you realize, in the United States, I believe, we're only 43 days into 2023, and we've already had 40 mass shootings. It's the climate has got to change, everyone. You know, we're not getting political today, but my point is I'm not changing the word killer because of what's going on in this world. But should we use rumor killer or rumor shredder? We got to get into it with Austin Theory because people are blowing this shit up. They're using the clickbait word massive. How many of you out there read websites the last 24 to 36 hours or podcasts in big, bold print? Massive massive spoiler, Austin Theory spoiler, massive Elimination Chamber spoiler, massive. That's why everybody's using the term massive. Well, I'm going to give you a massive rumor killer right now. The clickbait that people are trying to reel you in with has to do with Austin Theory retaining his United States Championship at Elimination Chamber. Where did they get this from? Betting odds. Every premium live event, every pay-per-view has betting odds. Remember the Royal Rumble? We felt bad for all those sorry motherfuckers that betted on Sami Zayn winning the Royal Rumble. Yeah, you could have bet on Sami Zayn winning the Rumble. We talk about betting odds almost every premium live event / pay-per-view. So the betting odds is that Austin Theory is going to retain. That's where they got their spoiler from. They're actually basing it on odds. Do you think I'm bullshitting you? Go look it up yourself. Once again, everyone, there's an old phrase, fool me once, shame on you. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So, do I think Austin Theory is going to retain? Yeah, I do. Seth Rollins is not going to defend the United States Championship against Logan Paul. Johnny Gargano, let's be honest. You know, Johnny Gargano coming on to Raw was like putting an Alka-Seltzer in a glass of water. A lot of fizz, a lot of bubbles early on, and after a little while, it's pretty much looks just like tap. Bronson Reed, do we need to put a sound effect into my mixer for crickets? That sounds like a frog. Sorry. I like Bronson Reed. That motherfucker is not clicking. If he feuds with Otis, like they kind of like stare down today, maybe Bronson Reed ain't clicking. I don't care if he's 800 pounds. I don't care if he could jump off a fucking building. I don't care if he could do 360s, 180s. We've seen it all, everyone. Everybody does crazy shit. Oh, but he's 200 pounds heavier than everyone else. Oh, well, that in that case, oh, let me go watch him. Let me buy a ticket. Bronson Reed ain't clicking. Let's be honest. I like the guy. I'm rooting for Bronson Reed. I want him to click. Just sometimes things don't work out. It's like a relationship. But you told me you loved me. Bro, I don't think so. You know, I don't love you anymore. I love someone else. But we were perfect together. Look, things change. What was that song by Exposé? Things change. People change. You know, shit changes. You could force it. You could insist it. No, Bronson Reed ain't clicking. You think he's winning the chamber? Come on. Austin Theory is the favorite. And you see what I'm doing right now, right? This is like a preview of the prediction show that we have to do. Because we can't just say, Asuka's going to win. Austin Theory's going to retain. It's going to be a double no contest with Brock and Bobby. And Roman Reigns is going to retain. Bye! He ain't winning. Oh, the top rope splash is impressive, man. Like I said, I'm a fan of Bronson Reed. I loved his tribute to Bam Bam Bigelow. He reminds me a little bit of Bam Bam Bigelow with an overseas accent. I like Bronson Reed. This is not clicking. But, please, you did not hear out of my mouth. Release him. Let him go. No, you got to give him more time. Give him more time. You know, they throw some seasoning into him. You know, look. If I have a chicken nugget and I tell you to season it, all you got to do is done. But if I have a fucking someone the size of Bronson Reed that is the size of 18,000 chicken nuggets, you know, you're going to have to use a little bit more seasoning there. Give it time. Right now, it's not his time. That's all I'm saying. You're not hearing out of my mouth that he should be released. No, I don't think so. And not because Vince let him go and Triple H brought him back. He's money. But got to let it happen organically. Will they do a little comedy with him? Probably. Could, you know, his the right foe maybe turn it up a notch? Possibly. You know, we'll see what happens. So, I feel creepy doing this, man. I'm not going to lie. I feel creepy doing this. You know, we had tonight. And, you know, I don't know if people are just stupid or if they just use social media to try to just get 1,000 people to respond to them. I mean, you could be brain dead, you know, in a vegetative state and still say that there was no way that Becky Lynch or Bayley was going to be added to the Elimination Chamber match. They teased all night long that we were going to have a three-way match tonight, Bianca Belair versus Bayley versus Becky Lynch. And if Becky or Bayley win the match, they are added in the chamber and it'll start as a three-way. Yeah, nice, creative and everything else, but you knew that they weren't being added to that chamber. This is Asuka's WrestleMania moment. She's had it before, but she is the top tier. A lot of people feel she's been slighted for far too long. Charlotte shows up. Red carpet is put out. Asuka shows up. Not so much. So tonight, it's about, hey, you know, we'll try to throw a little suspension of disbelief. WrestleMania implications. No. We just had Bayley and Becky finish their feud. It would have finished 2 weeks ago. But obviously with Raw 30 having a little bit of timing issues, you know, it got extended a little bit further. But why do I feel creeped out? Because I was looking for screenshots of their confrontation. I'm not kidding, everyone. I was looking for screenshots. Maybe I'll feel a little better. Now, this is for everybody on video. You know, maybe I'll feel a little better if I use this moment for a cheap plug. Because this Tuesday, this week in wrestling history will be posted. Trust me, I'm getting to Bianca in a second. Some of you know exactly where I'm going with this. For another 4-hour blockbuster show, that will be posted tomorrow. I put on the screen just a screenshot of the synopsis if anybody wants to pause it and you could look it over. But if you want a quick little pictorial, you know, obviously you could see some teasers as far as what went down this week in wrestling history. Wait, that doesn't look good. That looks better. There we go. Yeah, that's better. So you see a little bit. Obviously, Brian Pillman, that's the ECW stuff and everything. And yeah, Christian winning the NWA title. You know, Seth Rollins, Ring of Honor, NXT first got announced. Yeah, remember Zeb Coulter. So anyway, where am I going with this? So I'm going to give you a quick plug for This Week in Wrestling History. I got a little bit of a synopsis I'll share with you. But why am I doing this? Because I was looking for screenshots. Little picture of Bianca, Becky, Bayley, the three Bs in the ring, having a confrontation, open up Raw. And I swear to you, everyone, you know how awkward it is that I'm looking for screenshots and my wife is laying right next to me watching Raw. And every time I do a search, I see this. The war to settle this score. This week in history, WWF and MTV had the most watched show in the history of cable for wrestling. Jimmy Hart made his WWF debut this week in wrestling history. Bruno teamed up with his son. Saturday night's main event 5 and the lead into WrestleMania 2. The fallout between Brutus Beefcake and Adrian Adonis. Clash of the Champions 5. Same Valentine's Day. You see where I'm going with this, right? And we're not going to do it. You could go back and you can pause it. You just wait till Tuesday. You could see the whole synopsis. It's loaded. But, yeah, this is what I saw every time I did a search tonight. Yeah, Bianca Belair, she knows it. You know that she knows it. Hopefully I didn't creep any. Hey, I didn't watch while I was plugging This Week in Wrestling History, and I won't be watching this back. So I don't want anybody to be, you know. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Hey, never mind. No, we ain't going to go. Hey, you know what? For everybody who might have gotten a little bit energetic right now, maybe your energy level's been a little aroused. Well, we could talk about this for a second. Hey, look, Otis, Magic Mike, XXXXXL. Yeah, we had some fun over the weekend, Saturday's Don Tony show. As you heard today on Raw, WWE is bringing back the movie trailers. This is something that they've been working on for 2 years, everyone. Anyone out there that's giving you exclusive sources, my sources tell me that WWE's bringing them back. This was planned 2 years ago. Once they inked Hollywood, this was planned. I want to make that clear. I know I've said it before. But tonight, we had the further progression of Otis as a maximum male model. And this was great. You know, we see Otis on the screen. I know I'm going a little out of place. That's all right. We see Otis on the screen putting over Coney Island because we were in Brooklyn tonight. And listen, before we talk about Otis, if you've been paying attention to the shows here, I've told you point blank. I don't post it as news. I told everyone, don't keep your hopes up that Matt Riddle is going to be at Raw tonight. Here locally, he was advertised for quite some time. All right. Because I don't want to spoil his return, you know, and out of respect for him, who's like, bro, you know, I want to keep it on the low. No bullshit. I won't spoil it. For what? To get an extra 100 hits? You know, oh, people accredit me? Fuck that. You know, to me, trust is a little bit more important. But I will tell you this. He is returning very, very soon. Sooner than you think. So, but obviously it wasn't on Raw tonight. Some people, you know, were like, oh, he was advertised. Yeah. So, tonight, Otis, eating a hot dog, you know, hanging out in the back, and all of a sudden, the maximum male models show up. And how did she call him? She called him Otis. Otis, that's it. Mansoir, Marseille, Otis. Maxine is interested in Otis. Have you ever been a model? And Chad Gable thinks she's talking to him. Why he thought that? She was looking square at him in the face. And she wants Otis to be a maximum male model. So she asks Mansoir, give me a card, Mansoir. And there is the card. So we be prepared, everyone. Yeah, be prepared. Otis will soon be a maximum male model. And, you know, this is going to suck because we may start seeing the split of Otis and Chad Gable. Fun tag team, but obviously, you know, things have to progress. They can't be in limbo land in the tag team division forever. There's a little bit of progression of Otis's character. So Otis, soon to be maximum male model. I know. Everybody's like, well, but Triple H is doing creative. But I bet you they're doing this because Vince came back. And Vince's like, don't say anything. I want Otis to be a model. I'm sure some people have done that already. So we have Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, Bayley. They set up a match for later in the night. And the stipulation is, as I said earlier, if Becky or Bayley win, they're added to the Elimination Chamber. If Bianca wins, well, everything stays the way it does. And that's exactly what happened. We had the three-way damage control getting involved because it's a three-way. There's no disqualification. Ultimately, towards the end of the match, you had all the women participants in the Elimination Chamber. They run down to the ring. If you want to see something funny, you know, I know a lot of people like to post the AEW botches stuff. There's got to be like a WWE brain fart Twitter account, just brain farts. Just go back and watch when Raquel Rodriguez runs down the ring and she's face to face with Dakota Kai. It was just like, there was a, go watch it and just see. It's cute. It's kind of cute. They didn't know what to do. But I will say this, it was kind of cute that when Nikki Cross jumped onto the shoulders of Raquel Rodriguez, she just politely, like, dropped her to the outside of the floor. You know, look, looking out for your sister. But towards the end of the match, we get Bianca Belair picks up Io Sky and tosses her outside the ring onto every participant that's going to be in the Elimination Chamber. So they're all knocked out. And then Bayley and Bianca, they're going at it a little bit. Becky hits the ring. I will say this, because I nitpick. I admit I nitpick. I thought the ending of the match was very stupid because Bianca Belair picked up Becky Lynch and did the KOD onto Bayley, who was knocked out. If you go watch it again, right after she dumps Becky onto Bianca, Becky just rolls outside the ring and Bianca gets the pin. If you watch it, I mean, we know what the KOD is, but when you... Do my advice, and look, I don't wrestle. I'm old. But my advice is don't do the KOD onto someone else. Because honestly, it just looks like Becky just splashed Bayley. If you watch it again, it just looks like maybe Becky jumped off the middle rope and splashed Bayley. So why would Becky Lynch be so incapacitated that she's like, oh, let me roll myself out of the ring so Bianca could get the pin? It did not look good. I know people won't bring that up, but you watched the very close finish at the end. I thought it was dumb, to just be honest. But that's how they went off the air, other than plugging the Elimination Chamber. But again, you know, this is to hype up, you know, a nice main event. I mean, it was fun. It was to see these three women. They can go. They absolutely can go. But in the end, really, this was the scenic route to the Elimination Chamber. WWE does that all the time. We've brought it up countless times. We knew that Bayley and Becky were not going to be added. But, hey, we got an extra Raw that we got to fill leading up to it. We'll give a little suspension of belief for 2 hours and 45 minutes that maybe somebody could be added. And I don't think anybody's complaining after, no, I can't look. I can't look. No. Hey, we appreciate beauty, right? We appreciate beauty. So, and yeah, blah, blah, blah. Let's move on. Obviously, tonight, everybody is talking about this. And look, man, I fucking love Sami Zayn. I hated him at the beginning of COVID because I saw the struggle everybody was going through, and I thought it was very naive what he said, and I own up to it. But as a performer and all the good that he does, you know, in his private life, I've donated, not out of guilt, but, you know, he doesn't even know, you know, but look what I'm wearing tonight. I mean, I just felt like wearing it. But I think it's safe to say now you understand why Sami Zayn is not in the main event for the undisputed WWE Unified Universal Champion, blah, 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 blah. He's main eventing Mania. He will be teaming up with Kevin Owens, and these two will be winning the tag team titles. That's a main event, period. All right, he's not facing Roman at WrestleMania. As each week goes by, you realize it more and more and more why this is what it is. You know, and again, Kevin Owens has been absent the last 2 weeks. Kevin Owens will be in Montreal this Saturday for Elimination Chamber. But when you saw it tonight, you understand clearly why Cody is going after Roman at Mania and why Sammy is going after Roman at Elimination Chamber. Their confrontation was excellent today. Now, I got to be honest with you. You know, I don't know why Sammy had to, like, hide and, like, discreetly show up at Raw. I mean, you know, Adam Pearce didn't send out security to take him out, you know? I mean, when we heard that he was going to show up and jump the guardrail and wear a hoodie and all that, we're like, okay, maybe Solo Sikoa is going to be there or something. But he shows up, and he gets on the mic, and he calls out Cody Rhodes because of what Cody said last week about Sami Zayn. And everything about it made perfect sense. And you know what I have noticed? I got to say this about Sammy also. All right. I love the shirt where it says Sami Zayn and the tape is taped over the word Oos. But when I watched SmackDown Friday, when he's acknowledging Jey Uso, I kind of chuckled at it because I'm like, you know, you're not taping over the term bloodline. You're taping over the word Oos. Oos, Sammy Oos. So, you know, okay, one half of the Usos is against him and not the other half. You know, so, you know, it was kind of funny him wearing that shirt right next to Jey Uso. I acknowledge you. Well, then why are you wearing a fucking shirt covering up my name, you scumbag? You fucking Montreal Matarazzi. Anyway, so Sami Zayn is in the ring with Cody Rhodes. And Sami Zayn brings up, you know, what Cody said last week. And Cody is welcoming him to Monday Night Raw. And Cody is talking about, you know, how he punched his ticket to WrestleMania. And he says to Sami Zayn, you know, there's dissension in the bloodline for the first time because of you. He's given all these accolades praising Sami Zayn. And he's saying that we are here, that everybody's living in this moment because of you. He says, you know, finish the story. And he asks Sami Zayn, you know, do you believe that you could beat Roman Reigns? And Sami Zayn, you know, is looking at Cody. He's looking at the WrestleMania sign. The fans are getting behind Sami. They're doing the ole, 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 ole. And you can see Sami, you know, appreciates that fans remember it. And, you know, he's asked, do you believe that you could beat Roman Reigns? And it matters, you know, what he believes. Sami Zayn, that he knows he could beat Roman, but he doesn't know if he can win on Saturday. He talks about how he's been side by side with the bloodline for the last 9 months, and he brought up how he's seen every person come through, people bigger and confident, and each person went down. And, you know, he's talking about how, you know, the bloodline and, you know, the people are there for him. And Sami Zayn is selling like he knows that he could beat Roman Reigns, but he doesn't know if he could beat him on Saturday. And here's Cody giving him a pep talk. You know, Cody, you know, just trying to get through Sami Zayn. Roman is a human being like you and me. Crack his head open. You know, and, you know, I'm going to finish my story. I did this. I did this. I punched my ticket. I did this. I'm going to finish my story. To Sami, you finish your story. Beautiful. Beautiful. And you say to yourself, the exchange with Cody and Paul Heyman last week, the exchange with Cody and Sami Zayn today, the exchange of other wrestlers in recent months, you know, I don't think it's just newfound energy because Vince is no longer in creative. I think what has changed, is WWE Creative under Triple H have told these wrestlers, look, this is the story. I trust you to go out there and sell these bullet points. You don't have to say any manufactured phrases. You don't have to, just cover the bullet points. And when you don't have to think about, oh, should I have said this? Or maybe I said this. Some wrestlers still do that. And sometimes they get brain farts. You could hear it. People, you know, so manufactured, like you got to say this. You got to bring up this. You got to note this. And they're so pressured, like, I can't forget to say this. I have to say this. I have to say that. And look, everybody's human. You get brain farts. You know, you forget things. Even when I do my shows, simple as me sitting on my fat ass over here, I purposely put a list of topics here, and I occasionally will look down to make sure that I don't leave something out, because the last thing I want to do is finish a show and then be like, fuck, I forgot to bring up this. Fuck, I forgot to bring up that. So, you know, when wrestlers know the story, but you can ad lib, you could bring up some things, you could go there, go this, go that, don't worry about it. I trust you. I think that's where, you know, when you can go from here instead of here sometimes, that's where the magic occurs. So that's what happened tonight. So Cody is boosting up Sami Zayn. I'm going to finish my story. You finish your story. And it just pumped up Sami Zayn. And Cody finishes up by saying to Sami, I don't want to see you next Monday on Raw. I want to see you at WrestleMania. How do you get any better than that? You know, Cody already punched this ticket. Sami, now you punch yours. So now we have Elimination Chamber. And yes, we know what the outcome is going to be. We know that it's not going to be, you know, good for WWE to do this. But, you know, we know Saturday what the main event at WrestleMania is going to be. One of the main events, I should say. People just want to see Sami Zayn beat the shit out of Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is going to get an ass kicking on Saturday. In the end, you know, we know who's going to prevail, but it doesn't matter. Think about Roman, and I've said this many times before, and I'll say this again now, and then we'll move on. I've said for over 2 years, Roman Reigns, as far as his title reign goes, has been one of the most predictable title reigns. Maybe Hulk Hogan had a more predictable reign. What I mean by that is every time Roman Reigns went into a pay-per-view slash premium live event, you knew who was coming out on top. Brock Lesnar might have been the only person that we truly thought had a chance early on. But when he faced Kevin Owens, when he faced Daniel Bryan, when he faced Braun Strowman, when he faced, you know, others, Jey Uso, you know, anybody during any of his reign, Drew McIntyre, you know, maybe a little bit, you know, because of the build for Clash at the Castle. But for the most part, Roman's reign, no pun intended, Roman's reign has been pretty much set for these last 2+ years. Sami Zayn is not going to be any different, but that goes to show you, when you are so invested in a person, titles are not always what it's all about. Of course, the story with Sami, I want to take away what you got, Roman, because that's everything to you. Yeah, absolutely. But for us wrestling fans, we know the outcome. We just want to see Sami beat the shit out of Roman Reigns. Let it out. Show Montreal's going to lose their shit. They're going to lose their shit during this match. And the fans are going to make it that much better. The fans are going to make this match even better. Logan Paul. You knew there was no shot. Speaking of Logan Paul. Earlier today, Seth Rollins was on Miz TV. This is a far camera shot of what Seth Rollins was wearing. Seth Rollins came to the ring wearing these boots. Now, it was funny because I wrote something online. As soon as I saw it, it reminded me of something. And, you know, I put it up there. And, you know, you know how it is. If fellow members of the Cool Kids Club don't tweet it, and you do instead, people will just ignore it. And I went online and I said, you know what? You know, he reminds me right now of this guy, Papa Smurf. I thought he looked just like Papa Smurf with those boots. And I posted it. Get no play, you know. Oh, Mario, I don't recall wearing red shoes. Maybe he did. You know, people. And then as soon as Corey Graves said Papa Smurf, about 5 minutes after I posted it, I'm not saying that Corey saw my tweet. No, I'm not saying it. But as soon as I saw that, then everybody was like, oh, let me show you Pac-Man wearing red boots. Let me show you this female cartoon character wearing red boots. Everybody show me everybody wearing red boots now. What the fuck did I start on social media? But Papa Smurf comes out there, and the best way I could put it is this.
What are those?
Yeah. WWE is really getting strict on video. 5 seconds is the cutoff, everyone. 5 seconds. Even if you pause it and add 2 seconds later on, they told me, please, trim back a little bit of Gigi Dolan getting kicked in the face, you know, and I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I had to trim it down a little bit on YouTube goes. And look, it's an algorithm. They're not singling anybody out. It's an algorithm. You go over 5 seconds, they're going to ask you, you could still air it, you know, but I need that 77 cents of ad revenue, you know, so if I don't edit it, you know, then WWE gets the revenue instead. But 5 seconds. So he's doing Miz TV, and as I wrote in the synopsis earlier today, that he was going to troll Seth Rollins about Logan Paul. Why do you not want to bring up Logan Paul? You'll talk about those goofy Papa Smurf shoes, but you won't talk about Logan Paul. Seth Rollins, if you tuned into our Saturday show, I'm not going to repeat it. If you missed the show, you can still watch it. Seth Rollins is planting the seeds right now for his match against Logan Paul at WrestleMania. It's a done deal. They are having a match at Mania. Seth Rollins went on Pat McAfee and basically threw tons of shade on Logan Paul. And the story is that Logan Paul only gives a shit about himself. He doesn't like pro wrestling. He's only doing it to boost his value and social media presence and everything like that. And as I said Saturday, I will say this again now. You know, if that was the storyline a year ago, I would have bought into it. But it's pretty obvious now that Logan Paul takes the wrestling very, very seriously. His deal, which was originally signed with Vince and Stephanie and Triple H and others, is for a certain number of appearances. Logan Paul isn't going to say, oh, let me do another five freebies. Yeah, these are on me because I love wrestling so much. No, business is business. You know, so Logan Paul, this is why he doesn't have as many appearances. But Seth Rollins continuing the shade on Logan Paul, you know, Miz is, and when Miz is called Mike by Seth, that's Seth's like really being serious here. And he says to Miz, he says, Mike, he says, we do this because we love this. WrestleMania, we love this. Logan Paul doesn't love this. This is why I don't want to acknowledge him. He doesn't deserve this. So Miz, being an additional trolling, pain in the ass, he throws out the jealousy card. Oh, you're jealous of Logan Paul. And if you notice tonight, Miz is stupid. That is going to replace Tiny Balls. Them pushing this is going to replace Tiny Balls. Some fans will still chant Tiny Balls, but now they want to move on to Miz is stupid because Seth Rollins calls Miz stupid. Miz, you're not that stupid. You know, you're not that stupid. Brooklyn, is he stupid? Yes, Miz is stupid. So they go back and forth, and ultimately we get a little bit of a confrontation with Miz and Seth Rollins. And Austin Theory shows up. Now, Austin Theory would end up with the last laugh, as you can see. Seth Rollins is laid out, but The Miz is laid out also. So for all of you out there wondering, can Seth Rollins super kick wearing those Papa Smurf shoes? Oh, I think so.
Rollins escapes. Boom. The skull-crushing finale.
Yeah. So under 5 seconds, everyone. Can Seth Rollins hit the curb stomp with those Papa Smurf boots? Well, let's see.
In Brooklyn.
Boom.
Stop Sorry. To miss.
So, yeah. Yeah. I where those boots came from, I have no idea. They look comfy, though. They definitely look comfy, but sure enough, Austin Theory lays him out, and this leads to Elimination Chamber. So, yes, you could super kick in those boots. Yes, you could curb stop in those boots. Look, they're going to Hollywood, man. They're going to Hollywood. Seth Rollins, could you imagine what he's going to wear that night? I mean, and they're going to be in Hollywood also. So it's funny because I think some people don't understand, like, the attire, especially on the West Coast. It can get really, really outrageous. Seth Rollins is going to fit in like a glove there. So, but right after that happens, Rick Boogs is supposed to have a match with Miz. So Rick Boogs, you know, comes out there. Miz is like, did you see what just happened? I can't have a match. Well, Rick Boogs squashes him pretty much. Shows his strength, using Miz like a curling iron. And listen, Rick Boogs, man, he's 80s throwback to me. He looks like an 80s star. You know, the guitar stuff, I think, got a little bit played out. But I don't know, man. There's something about Rick Boogs. The fans are clicking. I'm telling you, as much as he's like the opposite of Bronson Reed right now. Yes, Rick Boogs was on the roster before, had an injury, kept him out of action for, what, 10 months? But Rick Boogs, there's that charisma there. There's something there that is clicking with the fans. I'm telling you, you know, and we got to see where this is going to go. And no, I'm not talking about MVP in the back with the Hurt Business again, which I'm sure a lot of you didn't notice. But, you know, Elias is in the back with Rick Boogs. And Elias is teasing like, hey, maybe one day, you know, you and I. Now, that'll be interesting once Matt Riddle comes back. We'll see where that goes. But I don't see Rick Boogs and Elias being a team. Maybe they tease it for a brief moment. But I think Elias is going to turn heel. He's got to. Elias is just a natural heel. You know, the babyface stuff is just not clicking. They need him to be back in the ring, be in the troll, you know, dissing the local crowds. But Rick Boogs, you know, you could feel there's something there. You know, it's going to be interesting to see where Rick Boogs is on the food chain a year from now. For WrestleMania 40, now, is he going to main event? No. But I think he's actually going to go a little bit. By the way, where's Shinsuke? Just saying. You know, where's Shinsuke? All right. So what else we got? Oh, we got the contract signing. We had the contract signing with Bobby Hu and Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar comes out there. And I noticed Mike Memphis sent a little bit of a super chat earlier. Yeah, let me show you with this picture because this is the best picture I have with him wearing the cowboy hat. Mike, with the 10 spot earlier, ADT, any specific reason why Brock Lesnar has a feather in his hat? Let me pull this back up. There we go. Any specific reason why Brock Lesnar has a feather in his cowboy hat? I don't know if a lot of you out there have ever heard of this, but there's a phrase. You know, I'm sure some of you out there never heard of the phrase having a brain fart, but you never heard of the phrase feather in your cap? You win something, you overcome something. You know, notch another feather in my cap. You know, that's a phrase. You know, you basically what this is, it could be hunting. It could be symbolic for Bobby Lashley. That he has beaten Bobby Lashley before, feather in his cap. That's why he wears it. Nothing more than just capture and prey. And believe me, if you looked at the feather, there's no like wild exotic $5 million bird out there that he 86'd and took a feather and put it in his hat. And he's like, this isn't like Logan Paul walking around with a $1 million Pokemon card. There's no $1 million bird feather. That's just symbolic for getting your prey. So that's why Bobby Lashley wears that. But hey, I'm sure not everybody knows why that is done. But Bobby Lashley comes out there and, you know, the best way I could describe it is he's in the ring and he wants Bobby Lashley, get your ass out here. Get your ass out here. Let's sign this contract. And Bobby Lashley tonight, you know, there was rumors early on that he was going to turn heel. And with the reuniting of the Hurt Business, we had this conversation on last Monday's show. Is MVP going to be a babyface? It doesn't feel it. MVP, you know, it just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't, the vibe doesn't hit me. So if they're going to reform the Hurt Business and Shelton and Cedric are going to be heels and MVP is going to remain a heel, plus we don't know what's going to happen with Omos, could we see Omos turn babyface? If Bobby Lashley reforms the Hurt Business and Omos is like, what about me? What about me? I'm in the Hurt Business. What about me? You know, I think Omos might end up getting kicked out. Don't be surprised if Omos turns babyface. Could he do it as a babyface? What do you all think? I think he might. You know, I like Omos. I root for him. You know, that video of him going back to his family he hadn't seen in Nigeria in like 16 years. He's a beautiful man. Seriously. Yeah, I know as I get older, I get a little bit more mellow, a little bit mushy. But, you know, to see him hugging his elder relatives that he hasn't seen in 16 years and seeing legitimate tears, how does that not put a smile on your face? You know? So, we'll see. Omos is a baby fan. I think that's coming. But Bobby Lashley, you know, doesn't come out right away. And then next thing you know, we get all these security guards. Oh, we know they're all going to get their ass kicked. It's just a matter of who is going to kick their asses. Bobby who? Or is it Brock? Now, I'll show you a far shot. Basically, there was a table inside the ring with Adam Pearce and Brock Lesnar. And Bobby Lashley had his own table all the way up the rampway. And Bobby Lashley's like, I have all the cards. This isn't a Brock Lesnar show. And, you know, he'll do things on his own terms. And the fans start wadding Bobby Lashley a little bit. I showed the contract to my lawyer. Okay. I showed it to my wife. Okay. I showed it to my consultant. What? I showed it to my accountant. What? I showed it to my representative. What? I even showed it to my kids. What? So now the crowd is getting a little bit antsy with Bobby Lashley, and Bobby Lashley's just feeding right into it. So Brock Lesnar says, you know, he hears someone chanting, Bobby's scared. And Brock starts laughing, and he's like, yeah, that's funny. Bobby's scared. And the crowd starts going, Bobby's scared. Bobby's scared. So Brock says, if you don't get into this ring, I'm going to kick your ass and sign the contract for you. And Bobby Lashley says, nah, I don't think that's going to happen because we're face-to-face, insinuating that Brock Lesnar only attacks when, you know, behind someone's back. So what ends up happening is Brock leaves the ring, starts beating the fuck out of all the security guards. And Bobby Lashley, I don't know if it was a botched spear, but Bobby Lashley ends up back body dropping Brock Lesnar on the rampway. And I think he then said to Brock Lesnar, you know, spear. So Bobby Lashley sets up, Brock gets up once again, and Bobby Lashley spears him, signs the contract, gives it to Brock, and Brock with this funny look on his face like, yeah, I got what I wanted, motherfucker. I'll see you at Elimination Chamber. So that match is going down. That is going down on Saturday. And again, I will continue what I said before. These two guys, I still think they could have a Mania match. Could it be a cage? Could it be Hell in a Cell? Look, we just talked Saturday about my sausage idea of Ronda Rousey versus Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania, maybe even a fight pit. Now, I do realize for the 45 of you out there that said to me, no, I believe they're going to team up and face Dakota Kai and Io Sky. And I was like, oh, that's cute. I saw that wrestling news site also that posted that match. Nice. But I think Ronda Rousey versus Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania with possibly a fight pit stipulation or something could happen. Could that also apply for Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar? They hate each other that much. There's got to be some stipulation added to it. Elimination Chamber is just a regular match, everyone. That's why, as of right now, I don't see a clean finish in this. I see so out of control that these two men cannot be contained. And they will finally settle their difference at WrestleMania with an added stipulation. That's where I see this right now. And I'm probably wrong. Maybe I'm being a little bit too over-creative. But that's where I see that going right now. So that's what we had earlier tonight. A couple other matches. Piper Nevin over Meechan. This was pretty close to a squash match. And, you know, it was what it was. I mean, Piper Nevin is impressive. The Dewdrop name, you know, sucked. But I don't see, let me put it this way. Now it's like, okay, it's like a movie. When you see the ending credits and it says, like, I don't know, Rick Moranis played whatever his name was in Spaceballs, all right? Rick Moranis, and then his character. Now you know what it feels like? Piper Niven playing Dewdrop. That's what it feels. Dark Helmet. Yeah, so Rick Moranis, Dark Helmet. This is Piper Niven, Dewdrop. It's basically Dewdrop doing the same stuff just under the Piper Niven name. Remember, she fought at Saudi Arabia in the final for the Queen of the Ring thing. Remember? Queen Zelina. So I don't know. Am I being outrageous to think that down the line we're going to see Piper Nevin and Bronson Reed go out on a date? I know that stereotyping too heavy people. Look, I'm heavy too. If I was single and Piper Nevin wanted me to take her out, I probably would take her out. Seriously. I would. You know? So I need to see more with Piper Nevin. Squash and Meechan, I don't know. That crowd was pretty dead for that, to be honest with you. I'm happy that she's back, but I don't want her to be the female Bronson Reed. And that's kind of how it feels right now. But I root. I'm a fan of hers. I want to we'll give it more time, that seasoning we said earlier. Finn Balor and Damian Priest over the Street Profits. Man, you know, I want to see if the Street Profits is still a tag team 3 months from now. Angelo Dawkins eats the pin today. You know, look, Montez Ford is going to shine in this chamber. Look at a year ago with Austin Theory in that chamber. Look at how his year, his 12 months have turned out since. Do you remember, and I'm not saying this to say I told you so, do you remember when Austin Theory was 2-32 and with the briefcase, and we compared it to Carmella, who was 2-33 when she had the briefcase? And no, I'm not saying that Austin Theory is on the level of Carmella wrestling ability-wise, but my point was, even though Austin Theory was losing 95% of his matches, you could see he was the future of WWE. Never felt he was being buried. Never felt that he's not a Triple H guy. And when he dropped the briefcase, I went on that show that night and said, that's the best thing that could happen to him. Get rid of the fucking briefcase. You know, now let it be focused only on Austin Theory. Teasing the cash in at NXT or Raw or SmackDown. He ain't going to beat Roman Reigns. Everybody knew that. He ain't going to beat Bron Breakker, although it would have been a fun surprise. So the getting rid of the briefcase was the best thing to happen to Austin Theory. And at that time, what did everybody say? Majority. Oh, what a fucking stupid way to take the briefcase off. What the fuck they take the briefcase off? Oh, they fucking guy's buried. And look where it's going now. The guy is money, looks like money, is a legit player now. And props, you know, for them to stay the course. Stay the course. So, after Sami Zayn and Cody Rhodes went down in the ring, we had a match involving Cody Rhodes also. Now, what happened was Baron Corbin was going to be interviewed in the back who's going to interview Baron Corbin? What's her name again that just returned to WWE? See, now I got a brain fart. Somebody bail me out. Who's the female? Kathy Kelly. Thank you, Chris. Kathy Kelly. She's about to interview Baron Corbin. Now, it wasn't Morocco, Buddy Rogers Corner, 1983, but she's about to interview Baron Corbin. She's like, oh, wait. There's something going down, and Sami Zayn's in the ring. So after Sami and Cody have their segment, we go back to the back, and Baron Corbin is still with Kathy Kelly. And Corbin is pissed. He's like, you stopped this interview for Sami Zayn? He starts throwing shade to Sami Zayn. He brings up that he's the one that beat Roman Reigns. Yeah, I do get brain farts, but I don't take a lot of notes. A lot of what I do is from here. I try to pay attention, and I absorb it. You know, when I start coming up here, and I'm like, oh, Jonah took on, and I start using, like, names from other feds. Oh, Jay White was on Raw tonight. Huh, who? You know? So, anyway. So, Corbin is reminding everyone that he's the one that, the last person to beat Roman Reigns. Well, pin Roman Reigns, I guess you could say, or defeat Roman Reigns, actually have his, you know, get a fall. Because remember, Roman Reigns lost a tag team match recently. A lot of people forget that. So Corbin is throwing shade to Sami Zayn. Corbin thinks that Roman is going to destroy Sami Zayn on Saturday, and then he starts throwing shade to Cody. And he's like, I don't like him. I don't like his brother. I don't like his father. I don't even like his dog. Meanwhile, Cody's in the back. And it's funny because as Baron Corbin is starting to throw shade to Cody, he's all the way in the back, kind of like the picture I showed you with Rick Boogs with MVP. And all I would have popped if I would have, you know when Cody does this? Like, I would have laughed my ass off while Corbin is throwing the shade about Cody Rhodes. And I would have, like, if he does one of those. But Corbin starts throwing a lot of shade to Cody. Cody starts beating the fuck out of him. Now, Cody's wearing, you know, just regular outfit, jeans, boots, cowboy boots. So takes his shirt off. He's shirtless. He starts wailing on Baron Corbin. They bring him back to the ring, call for a referee. Bell happens. And Cody Rhodes handles Baron Corbin in a matter of 2 minutes. And Cody gets a win. Now, as I was going to say earlier, a lot of people want to know if Cody Rhodes is going to be at the Elimination Chamber. And my answer is, I think he has to be. Because after Roman Reigns beat Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens showing up is not going to be enough. And I think you have to go off the air with a confrontation or a stare down with Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. So I think Cody Rhodes should be there because he is there in person to see who his WrestleMania opponent is going to be. So Cody Rhodes is allowed in Canada. You know, Jimmy Uso, you know, not so much, which we talked about in detail on Saturday. So Cody, I expect him to be at Elimination Chamber. As far as having an actual match, no, wouldn't make sense. So, all right. I think that was pretty much it with matches, other than the Bronson Reed match and the six-woman tag team match. The six-woman tag team match was fun because you had Asuka, Carmella, and Nikki Cross on one team representing Raw. On SmackDown, you had Natalya. I loved her Bret Hart shades. Natalya, Liv Morgan, and Raquel Rodriguez. So we have the tag team, and it's pretty much a standard Raw or SmackDown match. Towards the end of the match, Asuka just decides to beat the fuck out of everyone, including her own partners. She lays out Nikki Cross. She lays out Carmella, and she ends up landing Liv in the Asuka lock. Liv taps out, and Carmella, Nikki Cross, and Asuka are your winners. It was a fun match. All six participants in the match are going to be in the chamber Saturday. But as we all believe, it's Asuka's match to lose. And I don't see her losing, so with all due respect. Bronson Reed destroyed Mustafa Ali. Is that safe to say? I mean, Bronson Reed showing off his size, his mammoth strength. There was one point during the match where outside the ring to the left of the commentator's table, you have where, you know, the ring announcer is there and the timekeeper, and they were all out of Dodge. And the only thing that was there was one of those big, you know, like chairs, rolling chairs that the commentators use, and a couple of folding chairs. And Bronson Reed just picks up Mustafa Ali and just throws him over the barricade onto that chair with the folding chairs. And all I kept thinking was, you know, I know these guys are talented and they know what they're doing. Just because someone may not be as over doesn't mean they don't know what they're doing. But I know you can't see it, but the armrests, I just kept thinking to myself, you know, that guy lands spine first on one of those armrests. That's got to hurt like a motherfucker. You know, so Mustafa Ali got his ass kicked tonight. In the end, Bronson Reed gets the win. Crowd was just not into it, though. And I continue to feel bad for Mustafa Ali. I mean, you know, you remember when he balked for quite some time and then they brought him back and we were all convinced that, oh, they must have worked out something where he's going to win the United States Championship for a little while. And then you remember he was feuding. Who did he get attacked by? Oh, was it Dijak? Somebody attacked him on TV and I think like he addressed like Austin Theory and didn't even address the other person who was laying. No, who was showing up every week and laying him out? There was someone every, was it Dexter Lumis? No, that doesn't sound right. No, Dexter Lumis not show. Who kept showing up every week? Oh, I know it was Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa. You remember that? Feels like ages ago, right? Ciampa kept showing up and laying out Ali. No explanation. We still don't even know why. And Ali, when he's cutting promos, doing interviews, not even addressing Ciampa, who keeps laying the motherfucker out. He was just addressing Austin. And that's when you realize, Houston, we got a problem. So I'm sure someone out there is right now, what does he mean by Houston, we have a problem? So that was your matches for tonight. It was a fun night of Raw. It was a good lead-in for Elimination Chamber, albeit only four matches as of right now. I'll hope they add a fifth or a sixth. Because like I said, last year we had, what, seven matches? I deleted them, but that's okay. All right, we got to talk a little bit about ratings. And we've fallen in a nice groove with these ratings. I think we're going to do this each week from now on, and I think it's fun. I think overall you'll appreciate it. Just a couple of quick notes. Tomorrow at NXT, they got a loaded show lined up. JC Jane is going to explain her actions, obviously, and we'll probably have Gigi Dolan come out, confrontation. They're probably going to face each other the weekend of WrestleMania. Thea Hale versus Tiffany Stratton, Axiom versus Damon Kemp, Hank Walker versus Charlie Dempsey, Grayson Waller versus Tyler Bate. Interesting. Bron Breakker will be there. Wes Lee will have an open challenge, and people are hoping that it's Nash Carter. I don't think so. Not yet. Not yet. That was one of my predictions for 2023, that Nash Carter will be back in WWE. I do believe they will give him another chance. Brooks Jensen and Kiana James go on a date. It's Valentine's Day, everyone. And by the way, for my Patreon family, yes, I will be doing a show. I originally was going out to dinner at 8 o'clock at night tomorrow. We changed it to 5 o'clock. We got lucky. Somebody got a cancellation, you know, so I was able to grab that 5 o'clock. And, you know, hopefully if Don Tony gets a little lucky afterwards, it'll be way before 10 p.m. So I will be doing a show, probably be abbreviated tomorrow. And if I show up and I'm like, give me a minute, everyone. That probably just means that I went outside. The ice cream truck was on the corner. Maiko Satomura, she returned. She got all her visa stuff squared away. Maiko Satomura, she teams up with Roxanne Perez against Kayden Carter and Katana Chance. Oh, someone is showing up. Someone is going to cause them to lose. I don't think it's for the tag. Oh, they're not tag champs anymore. That's right. Oh, Satomura, Roxanne Perez. Oh, they are getting that win. That's right. You know, Fallon Henley and Kiana James are the tag champs now. That's going to be interesting. Oh, results tonight. Bron Breakker beat Tozawa for main event, and it was Wendy Chu over Dana Brooke. So I want to thank all my locals that DM'd me that were at Raw tonight. They were in Brooklyn. And, you know, I might as well tell you right now, originally I was going to Raw. If, you know, a certain individual and his girlfriend were going to be there, we actually had plans that, you know, I was going to go down with my wife, and we were going to go to Raw. But obviously, you know, things changed. And honestly, you know, I felt like just hanging out home tonight, to be honest with you. All right, let's talk ratings. So from now on, we're going to do the weekend ratings, but we're going to do it condensed. But we're going to do this in a way I think everybody's going to approve. We'll look at the last week in ratings. We're going to do Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, Impact Wrestling, New Japan, and MLW Underground. And we have some big news about MLW's lawsuit against WWE. I probably should have opened up with it, but we will close the show with it. Big news. Big news. And a little bit of added issues that could happen. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's just give you a little teaser. The lawsuit is dead. But anyway, now, as far as Impact, MLW, New Japan, unfortunately, we don't have quarter-hour breakdowns. I can't tell you what was the high point, the low point. All I can tell you that all three have in common is that none of them break 100,000 viewers. So honestly, I think Nielsen is like, are you fucking kidding me? I ain't doing quarter-hour ratings for this fucking show that does 50,000 viewers. Go get a mark that's willing to do it. So we have it for everything else. But it's interesting to see who popped the biggest quarter of the night for the other shows and who popped the lowest quarter of the night. And I'll say this as well. When we talk about Dynamite, we will never include quarter one. And I know what some of you are saying right now. No, that's stupid, Don Tony. We got eight quarters for Dynamite. You got to count them all. Problem is, there's such a lead-in for the Big Bang Theory. It's really impossible to tell how much of that quarter one is because of the Big Bang Theory lead-in or if it's just natural viewers. And let me tell you something. If I was AEW, I would rather everybody think there's a lead-in for Big Bang Theory. Because if that's not the case, that means almost every episode of Dynamite, there is a huge drop of viewers within the first 15 minutes of the show. That's not good. I don't care where you start with your ratings. You don't want within 15 minutes, people like, fuck this. Well, let me go do something else. I'll go back and watch it later. You don't want that. So we're not counting quarter one until, you know, things change. Because every week, quarter one is the highest quarter. Every week. So with that said, SmackDown this past Friday did 2,468,000 viewers. That is up from last week's 2,384,000. That's interesting. The main event this past week was Madcap Moss getting a number one contendership for Gunther's title. You think about SmackDown this past Friday, you would think like, wow, you know, if there was going to be a 1 of the 2 weeks it was going to pop the bigger, it would have been a week before. No, this week scored higher than a week before. Now the week before, the highest quarter was Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn's confrontation, which did 2,588,000 viewers. And the lowest quarter from the week before was Natty versus Shotzi versus Shayna Baszler versus Zelina Vega, that only did 2,285,000. Still a good number. 2,285,000 is nothing to sneeze about. Rampage this past Friday. And listen, man, you know, that's a pretty stacked card for a one-hour show. Blackpool Combat Club, just in action, you would think. Ruby Soho, Mark Briscoe appearing. You know, I mean, this is not a bad lineup. That lineup only did 375,000 viewers, down from last week's 407. The week before, the highest quarter hour was the Elite versus the Firm, which did 449,000 viewers. And the lowest quarter was Christopher Daniels versus Roosh, which only did 376. So very, very disappointing numbers there. Dynamite this past Wednesday did 899,000 viewers, down from last week's 901. This is going to surprise you. The highest quarter hour, other than the lead-in for Big Bang Theory, was the second quarter, which was the post-match beatdown of Takeshka by MJF and Jamie Hayter versus The Bunny. It did 1,001,000 viewers. Do you remember, it was a week ago when I said, I would love to see AEW open up with a women's match just so they could say that the women's match had the highest quarter of the entire night? Well, they did in quarter two. So that was pretty cool. But they had the highest quarter of the night. The lowest quarter of this past Wednesday's Dynamite was the Acclaimed losing the AEW Tag Team Championships to the Guns. It only did 780,000 viewers. Bet a lot of you were surprised at that one. NXT this past Tuesday did 562,000 viewers, down from last week's 587. The highest quarter hour from this past NXT was Carmelo Hayes taking on JD McDonagh. That same quarter had a backstage segment with Tiffany Stratton. And we also had Valentina Feroz taking on Tyra Valkyria. That did 597,000 viewers, the lowest quarter hour of the night. Pretty Deadly taking on Chase University, which only did 499,000 viewers. MLW Underground, which we did say earlier this week, did 79,000 viewers. I know that may not sound like an impressive number, but yes, it was their debut, and I expect the numbers to go down in the next couple of weeks. It could go up a little bit because not everybody knows that they're on Reels now. But when you compare it to Impact and New Japan, Impact this week did 81,000 viewers, down from last week's 95,000. New Japan Pro Wrestling this week did 48,000 viewers, down from last week's 58,000. New Japan, 48,000 viewers. When you hear about New Japan stars showing up in AEW. I'm shaking. I have goosebumps. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. Forbidden Door. Thank you, Tony. Booker of the Year. Dad of the Year. Please adopt me. These motherfuckers care so little about New Japan that every week they could see them on American TV, and they don't do it. What does that tell you? So, and we cannot leave out Raw. Last week's Raw, well, this, yeah, 1 week ago, Raw did 1,866,000 viewers, down from the week before. It's 2,114,000, but the week before was Raw 30, so obviously we expected that to go down. The highest quarter hour of last week's Raw was Cody Rhodes and Paul Heyman's confrontation, you know, back and forth, whatever you want to call it, in the ring. That quarter hour did 2,027,000 viewers. The lowest quarter hour rating last week, Montez Ford versus Elias for a spot in the chamber, that did 1,618,000 viewers. In fact, if you want to go look it up, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I know Cornette breaks these down even further, but he will tell you that the Montez Ford Elias quarter hour, WWE had like a 300 plus thousand viewership drop. I mean, that I think says it all. More about Elias than anything else, over 300,000. That is a big fucking drop. And that wasn't even like, I don't think it was hour three. I think that might have been the second quarter of the second hour. So those are your ratings for this week. I think we are done. We are done. Oh, little programming note. I will bring it up on Wednesday also. But Rampage this Friday will air at 7 p.m. I think they called it something. There was an NBA term added to it, full court, something like that. Do I even have it handy? I don't have it handy. We'll talk about it Wednesday, but I got to show you something before we go off the air. I wasn't even going to show it tonight. I was going to show it to you last week, and I had a brain fart, and I forgot. I think we got a new doppelganger. Damian Priest. Okay? We know what Damian Priest looks like. In fact, here's a photo from earlier today. Rhea Ripley, extremely... Oh, we got to talk about what happened with them. Absolutely. We can't go off the air talking about the beatdown that happened tonight with Beth Phoenix and Edge. You know, early in the night, Dominic Mysterio teasing that Mammy is not there. Mommy is not there. But, you know, the Judgment Day will take care of business. Finn Balor and Damian Priest beat the Street Profits. After the match is over, they continue to beat down. Edge's music hits. Edge hits the ring, and Edge starts going at it with Finn Balor. And, of course, all of us, we're glued to see what Beth Phoenix is going to do. So Beth Phoenix, once again, gets a hold of Dominic Mysterio. Dominic does not lay hands on Beth Phoenix, as we keep pointing out to everyone. If you get those intergender matches that you think are going to be down the pipe, it's not happening. But she gets her hands on Dominic. She's about to hit Dominic once again with a finisher, and Rhea Ripley shows up, and she hits the Riptide on Beth Phoenix, leaves her laying. And, you know, later on, she's okay, Beth, because Edge and Beth, they cut a promo that, you know, they're going to beat their asses at Elimination Chamber. And as of right now, I think Edge and Beth Phoenix are going to win. I think they are going to win at the Chamber. So wait a minute. So that's actually five matches announced. Wait, so that's five matches. So you got Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Judgment Day, the two Elimination Chamber matches, Bobby versus Brock, and Roman versus Sami Zayn. So that's five matches. They still need to add one more then. They absolutely need to add one more match. But that's five. And I definitely see Edge and Beth Phoenix going out on top. You know, and I think they're obviously doing it here because they couldn't do it at Mania because Rhea Ripley is taking on Charlotte Flair. But at some point, Edge and Beth Phoenix have to prevail. As of right now, 2023 is Edge's last year wrestling. and they're in Montreal. It's more likely under the Triple H creative regime compared to the Vince McMahon creative regime that in their hometown, the good guys will get the win. I mean, anybody that's a longtime WWE slash WWF fan, I think you'll admit that more often than not, when a wrestler, especially a babyface, is in their hometown, Vince would have them lose. I mean, at least I would say 75, 80% of the time. Because he would feel that, you know, to put the other person over, the loss would be extra, like, difficult on the fans. Like, it would get under their skin even further. So Edge and Beth Phoenix winning this match in Montreal has to happen. Has to happen. So, yeah, so we got five matches. Thank you for everyone for not correcting me earlier. We kept saying four. I'm sure some people on the replay, they're probably going to write in the comment section early into the show, DT, no, there's five matches announced. There's five. And then at the end of the show, they're going to be like, oh, I got to delete that. So we'll see if there's an added match for SmackDown on Friday. Now, I didn't forget about the doppelganger thing, but we had to talk about Edge and Beth Phoenix for a few moments. All right. I saw this last week. And I don't know if it's just the way the picture was presented, but I had a good laugh out of it. All right. So you look at Damian Priest again. All right. Damian Priest. Now, he's obviously dropped a few extra pounds in the last couple of months, but let's pretend Damian Priest retires 5 years from now, 10 years from now, probably five, but let's say 10 years from now, Damian Priest enjoying his retired life, maybe goes on the Irwin R. Scheister diet. You know, he living life a little bit healthy. Tell me if I'm just losing it here, or tell me if from UFC, I think it's UFC, right? Scott Coker. Tell me he doesn't look like Damian Priest, 10 years older, about 50 pounds heavier. Tell me that motherfucker doesn't look like Damian Priest. I swear to God, if Damian Priest was like 10 years older right now, lost all his hair, and ate too much chimichangas and pizza, I think he'd look like Scott Coker. Some of you out there are probably like, who is that? Tell me that's not Damian Priest, like 10 years, 15 years from now, eating too much fucking Latino food. Seriously. Tell me that I'm wrong. You don't think that's Damian Priest after eating 100,000 arepas. Arepas. Any of you ever eat arepas? Arepas are good, man. I love Spanish food. All right. Before I get out of here, we have a late super shout out. Jimmy Fingers sending a 20 spot. He can get behind the idea of pushing new talent, but not 10 at a time. This does not something in pro sports, never mind pro wrestling. Oh, this does not happen in pro sports, never mind wrestling. AEW had too many AA players playing in the bigs, too many no names equal bad ratings. See, the problem is a lot of these shows have name brand people on it. You know, they advertise, I mean, you know, early on when you had like Kip Sabian versus maybe Orange Cassidy, which is not that long ago, maybe you're like, pushing Daniel Garcia. Look, they have pulled back on Daniel Garcia big time. I mean, there's some wrestlers, Wednesday, oh, we're going to have so much fun talking about Athena. Oh my God, did I trigger people the last couple of days? Go on my Twitter, @DonTonyD. I wrote a little Christmas rhyme earlier today. 'Twas a few days before Dynamite. And just look at the thread. All I pointed out was that Athena has not been on AEW Dynamite in over 4 months, and she's only been on Rampage twice since August of last year. And I just wrote it just to point it out, and I wanted to see what kind of response I got. And I had, in record numbers, people that don't follow me all throwing the Ring of Honor shit in my face. Oh, you didn't want Ring of Honor on AEW TV. You got what you wanted. Now you complain about Athena not being on. And all I kept thinking about was Claudio, Utah, Samoa Joe, Brian Cage. They're always on AEW television. Gee, I wonder what they all have in common. Yeah, they all have Ring of Honor titles. Oh, that Ring of Honor argument, it's so funny to look at this response. You know what's disturbing about it? The fact that no women, nobody in support of women's wrestling, doesn't even have to be a woman, no one in support of women's wrestling, like, wow, that's fucked up. You know, you got someone like Ember Moon, Athena, and please do not give me, well, because maybe she beat up this indie girl, maybe that's why she's a... The motherfucker is the Ring of Honor women's champion. She's on AEW YouTube every single week, and she's going to be fighting at the pay-per-view. Oh, yeah, that's a demotion. So stupid, man. Nobody stepped up. Like, wow, you know, like, we want to get more women's wrestling. Raw 30, oh, my God, look how WWE treated the women like shit. And you see this, nobody steps up. You don't deserve more than one match in AEW for women's wrestling a show. You don't deserve more than one match a show. Because nobody fucking steps up. You know why? Because people want to be part of the Cool Kids Club where they can tweet that everything is epic, amazing, unbelievable. Oh, my God, you know, AEW, yeah, the rating was down, but the demo was good and this and that, and it's always cake and ice cream. Because they don't want to fight. They want to be part of that club. So they're forced to just bite the tongue and not complain. And they just keep quiet. Oh, I didn't see your post. I don't follow you. You know, and they don't say a fucking damn thing about it. Because it's about being in with that conversation. That everything is kumbaya. You know, you ever see that emoji? That's what a majority of these people are online. Fucking Athena. Who, despite, you know, what you think about her, is one of the most talented women on the AEW roster. And she can't make TV. Well, but she's on YouTube every week. She can't make TV. The Ring of Honor. She can't make TV any week. Zero. Zero. Oh, she's injured. Oh, really? Did she get a paper cut? Did she break a nail? What injury? It's you got to go to the thread. But as far as what Jimmy is saying, you know, there's enough main stars on these shows. There's enough main stars to show. I think one of the problems is the way they position some of the people. Look, you put the Acclaimed and the Gun Club. I almost said the guns. You put the Acclaimed and the Gun Club in a title match to close it out because you think that people are expecting a swerve. Problem is that all the other title defenses that the Acclaimed had, they were on Rampage. Most of them were on Rampage. And they would open up a show. They would open up a show. That's how much they cared about it. Now, let's have Wheeler Yuta versus Daniel Garcia in the main event. But we'll have the Acclaimed in tag team title match open up the show. You know, it's just the way some of this stuff is positioned, I think, is some of the problem, too. You know, there's a reason why when you go out to a dinner and have a five-course meal, there's a reason why they give you the steak last. And they give you a little bowl of soup or a bland bullshit salad with ginger dressing on it in the beginning. If you eat the fucking steak first, and then you have the potato. No, if you have the dessert first, then the steak, then the potatoes. When it comes time for the soup and the salad and the bread, oh, I'm fucking stuck. I don't need that. I'm done. Halfway through, I'm done. You know, you ever hear the saying, you don't get any dessert until after you finish your dinner. You don't get to play until you do your homework first. And AEW, for some reason, it's like, oh, let's play first, and then we'll do the homework last. And I think that's why their ratings go like this all the time. All the time. So it's not just B players, because you look over the years. I mean, you look at Raw, you look at Nitro, you look at TNA, you look at opening matches, you would have young people on the card that haven't made it yet, or you'd have squash matches. Nobody would complain because they knew by the end of the show there was something big going down, and they do it the opposite. So, all right, everyone, I'm going to jet out of here. So I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. I can't leave without this. See, I would have been pissed if I didn't finish up with this. Okay. I'm not going to add details that are not available yet. But I will tell you what I know, and I will tell you what could also happen. As we expected all along, MLW's lawsuit against WWE. Yes, that lawsuit that a lot of Vince McMahon haters online said that there was this major problem. Remember all that clickbait? MLW got it strong. MLW was playing lotto. MLW was hoping that WWE would just settle. Unfortunately, Unfortunately, MLW doesn't have a nice fat ass. MLW doesn't have a nice set of tits where Vince McMahon would be like, settle. That's all right. It was worth it. MLW, Court Bauer, with all due respect, Court, I don't think you were attractive to Vince. They thought WWE would have settled. Let's just get them out of here. Offer them $1 million. Just get them out of here. We'll just write it off. We'll sell an extra Oos shirt. You know, just get them out of here. No. WWE didn't do that. Bravo, WWE. And I mean that sincerely. Look, I'm rooting for MLW to succeed on Reels. I watched their first episode of Underground. It was not bad. I think an introduction to MLW would have been a little bit better. You know, instead of just going right in there and assuming that everybody knows everything, and honestly, their first show probably should have been a two-hour special. But, you know, and I don't want to, but they do vintage stuff an hour later. No. Get to know us first. Hey, this is what we're about. 20-year history. Go check out, do a video montage. Court, get off your lazy ass. You know, go on fucking video pad and stuff and put a nice little montage together. A 15-minute montage of all the shit that's happened over the years. Highlights. They didn't do that. But, MLW's lawsuit against WWE for this monopoly and all the and what are the people online? Yeah, you see, they do that to them. They did it to AEW. They tried to do that with Ring of Honor and New Japan and Madison Square Garden. People were insisting to you that MLW had a strong case against WWE. They lost. And WWE did not settle. MLW's case has been thrown out by the courts. Now, could this happen? Yeah, I think so. Should it happen? Yeah, I think so. If I was WWE, if they have a way of trying to sue MLW to get those court costs back, I would do it. Nothing personal against Court Bauer. I don't give a shit about this shit that happened 20 years ago with the USA Pro Wrestling and them fucking with the shows. I don't care about that anymore. I don't work for USA Pro Wrestling. But the point is, that lawsuit was bullshit. All it did was kind of give them press, and they hoped that they were going to get a settlement from WWE, which WWE did not cave into. And ultimately, they wrote it out, WWE, and the case got thrown out. So right now, MLW's case is over. Over. Now, if I was WWE, fucking, if you can, try to get those court costs. Whatever fucking McDivitt and others charged, you know, if I was McDivitt, I would say, look, the economy was fucked up. I normally charge WWE $100 an hour. This MLW case, nah, man. I charged them $975 an hour. MLW, you got to give us back $45 million. You see how quick they're on Reels. They'll be showing vintage stuff till tomorrow. I don't want to see MLW hurt by this, but the lawsuit seems stupid from the beginning, and they lost. They lost. Once I get more details, I will share it with all of you. But as of right now, that case is history. And I can't wait to see the people online that tried to convince everyone that this was a legit, serious lawsuit that WWE is going to lose and lose big. I can't wait to see what bullshit they come up with now. Probably the judge is a Republican, or maybe the judge is a woman, and maybe Vince, you know, there's going to be, and I'm being sinister here. You're going to see stupid excuses come up with this, but all right, everyone. Now I can officially say goodnight, everybody. If you enjoyed tonight's show, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that would enjoy the channel, let them know about it. You know, remember we have Patreon, patreon.com/DonTony. I will be live tomorrow at 10:05 after NXT. Every week we do a show there. Kev Castle does a podcast every week on there as well. We will have a predictions contest for Elimination Chamber, not only on Patreon, but we will have it for all the YouTube channel members. We're going to open up to everyone that's a channel member from now on. But what we're going to do is, for those that are elite channel members who contribute that much more, they'll get two shots. So now when you're like, I don't know if Bobby Lashley's going to win or Brock Lesnar's going to win. Well, now you have two entries. So you could put two entries side by side, and you could change a match. So now you got two shots at winning. And, you know, each contest, you know, you get a nice 50 spot. PayPal, AEW gift card, WWE gift card, Amazon gift card, whatever you want. So, all right. Much love, everyone. And as I'm leaving, Nero Fay, he sent the 6 spot saying he thinks sending Corbin to NXT is the way to go. Oh, no. Corbin to NXT? Look. You know why I say no? Because I don't want him beating Bron Breakker. I don't want him beating Wesley. If he just shows up there just to lose, that doesn't benefit him at all. The problem with Corbin is they keep experimenting. Corbin might have had his biggest chance when he was Happy Corbin and was winning. And they decided, no, we'll just make him a prick bastard anyway. Remember that? Kind of felt like, hey, you know, you kind of rooting for him. You know, the storyline is he's down on his luck and he got out of his hole and was still a dick. So now it's like, all right, well, you had your opportunity. So look, man, that guy's been on that roster for a long fucking time. You know, if you could cut ties with Keith Lee so fast, if you could cut ties with anyone you want to choose in the last 2 years, let's be honest. I know this may sound cold, but I'm going to say this closing out the show. And I don't mean to be cold, but I'm going to just say it. How many of you over the last couple of years, you don't have to answer out loud, but think to yourself, how many of you over the last couple of years, when you saw over 150 people released, you mean to tell me that during those releases, which didn't all happen in one shot, you didn't say to yourself at least once, fuck it, they let this guy go, but they keep Corbin. I could throw out some other names, but I could tell you honestly, I admit to saying that. I usually don't say it out loud because I don't like throwing names out there. But you got your usual suspects, and you say to yourself, how does this person get released, but this person still has a job? It always happens that way. But Corbin is definitely one of those, I hate to say it, that guy, if he's released now, no one could turn around and say, you know what? Man, they dropped the ball. What the fuck are you talking about? That guy probably overstayed his welcome. Tell me, what is so fabulous, tremendously spectacular about Baron Corbin? Oh, he's a dick. He's an asshole. Yeah. Yeah. What is that? You know what I mean? Like, I just picture Baron Corbin on the indie circuit, and I'm like, am I going to go watch him headline? Maybe to take on the local babyface for a certain person's town. But someone like that, you want to see them lose over and over and over and over. Baron Corbin probably made more money than anyone else that I think he overstayed his welcome. I mean, honestly, let me say this. I know this is going to sound even worse, but I don't give a shit. I'm going to be honest. You ever see those pictures on Twitter, especially? Eliminate one. It'll be like a donut, a cupcake, an apple pie, a blueberry pie. Eliminate one. McDonald's, Burger King, Roy Rogers, or Wendy's. Eliminate one. Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, The Rock, John Cena. All right. Let me tell you something. If Baron Corbin is on any list, I choose him. I mean, you eliminate one. If Baron Corbin never went through my television, would I say, like, man, you know, I wonder what it'd been like if he was never on the roster? Is Baron Corbin, listen, honestly, and I'm not saying this to be a jerk, but, you know what, if you pair him with Teddy Hart and some others, you know. If you had Teddy Hart, Chris Benoit, Baron Corbin, and, you know, O.J. Simpson, he might survive that list. But honestly, I have nothing personal against Baron Corbin. God bless that guy to have succeeded as far as he did. But I just, I'm being honest. If somebody gave me one of those Men in Black wands and I just woke up and Baron Corbin was never in the company, I don't think I would have felt any different. Probably the only thing that would have been different is this show would have ended 5 minutes earlier. Honestly, this show would have ended at an hour and 31 minutes. That's the only difference. I'm not saying to release him, but I'm just saying, like, you know, at some point you gotta just turn around and say, look, man, I'm just saying, it's just not working. You know, put him in NXT. How does that benefit him? He ain't gonna have the Mandy Rose run. He's someone that you just want to see get their ass kicked and lose. And yeah, AJ Styles is still injured. Gallows and Anderson took on the Creed brothers this weekend, giving them a little bit of a rub. So that's what's going on with them. All right, I'm out of here. Much love. And like I said, if you want to go check out the Patreon, I will be live tomorrow. We will have a fun show as always. If not, you're more than welcome to join me here Wednesday, 10:05 p.m., right after Dynamite, and we will have some fun. Be well, everybody. Much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills, I paid the hosts, I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right, he's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.